Hi folks, and welcome to another episode of EduChats, and it is my great pleasure to have Ross Johnson with us. Now, Ross is an Adobe Education Leader with the Department of Education in New South Wales. Ross, tell the audience what you do.
Well, hi everyone. My substantive role in education is I'm the head teacher of information technology at Tumbiumbi campus on the New South Wales Central Coast. And I teach both information technology and information software technology. And the latter is more of the creative subject as compared to the former, which is more of a hardware base. I'm also the campus computer coordinator. And during this time of remote learning, everyone wants a piece of Ross, of course. And it's been very busy time frame, but it's been good busy. So staff have wanted to know to upskill themselves to try and do the best for their students. So that's essentially what my role is at the moment.
And a very important role too. And those who are watching the vodcast will realize that Ross probably isn't at home because he's actually at school. He's one of those rare teachers that has been required to be at school. So Ross, why are you at school and not at home?
Essential services. there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, my I can spread out here at school. So for example, I've got four computers going around me at right now, and if I have a particular job that I need to do in a particular part of that role, I can just go to that particular computer and away I go. So I can sort of spread myself out, which I can't do at home because we just haven't got the space.
Yeah.
And reliability of service is way better at work than it is at home. So, and that's, of course, one of those things that we can talk about further on in this interview.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Ross, you're also a classroom teacher, so it's not just technical support, you're an educator. So what, yes, I'd like to find out, first of all, is at your school, how you're managing, what technology you're using, what are you using for your synchronous sessions and your asynchronous sessions?
Well, I'm using Microsoft Teams as my one-stop shop, be-all and end-all learning management system for everything, including my my classes, including my faculty management, including my college professional development. My life is, my work life is through Teams. So my ethos is the digital classroom, the paperless classroom, and Teams allows me to be able to do that to the best of my ability. I know it's not perfect in terms of totally eliminating the paper, but that in education, that's never, but this gives me every tool that I require to be able to deliver all of the best outcomes for all the people that are involved with my role.
Now, Ross, Microsoft Teams is something you've been using for a while, not just during COVID-19. How have your colleagues adopted to it, and how have you been able to help them?
The majority of people at our school have been sort of being able to transfer their skills from Google Classroom. So they've sort of, I haven't pushed it in a huge way. I've given them information. Here's the info about both, and here's, you make the choice what's best for your classroom environment, because they know their class best. And the majority of people that have crossed over to Teams instead of Classroom have crossed over because of Class Notebook. And Class Notebook has been the defining feature between the two platforms for us, in the fact that it's all in one notebook. Students can do all of their work. They don't have to cross between each particular application. So yeah, that's been the big one.
Yeah. Now, that means at your school, the students are crossing between two different systems depending on the teacher, rather than dictating exactly what the school should be doing. How are they finding that?
It's been fine, because we've been keeping up the amount of communication to our parent community and also our student community by sending out Everyone's got a Gmail account. Their standard school account is a Gmail account, so we've been able to push all of the information out to each particular student to make sure that they've got joining codes, they've got work that they need to keep up, and all of the staff have turned on notifications. So we've had an extensive amount of training to be able to get staff up to speed with how it works in a more than just a simplistic manner.
And generally across the board at your school, do you feel as though your staff are coping okay?
Yeah. We've a lot of staff that we would... We're not saying that they would be, technology avoiders, but a lot of them have really ran with it. Like, they've totally taken up the online learning mantle and thought, why didn't I try this earlier? You know, this is fantastic. So, it is a bit difficult juggling between. It will be difficult on Monday when we juggle between on-site and off-site for that sort of in-between time frame. And we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But I've been doing a bit of a poll with my staff and saying, you know, what do you want to keep? And I haven't had a single person say that we want to go back to what we were before.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And so I've noticed that COVID-19 has been a huge catalyst for change for so many teachers. What features of this change do you think will continue on once we get back to some form of normality?
I'm hoping that this online learning, this blended learning model, caters for a lot more students than just your standard terrestrial classroom student that would be sitting there and the night before they might have had no sleep at all, or they might be a gamer, or they might be working, or it could be a number of different reasons as to why, but their learning is there for them when they need it. And staff are seeing that. Staff are seeing a good take up of work on students that they would not normally see engaged. And that, you know, those increased levels of engagement for those students, staff are just loving that. Which we're hoping that will be the catalyst to sort of move ourselves forward and keep fighting the good fight for this.
It'll be interesting to see, maybe if we have a chat again in a few weeks' time or a couple of months' time, and just to see whether that has actually taken place. So there'll probably be a lot of research. I reckon it'll be a great PhD study for a PhD graduate to consider. And to look at what's happened before and after and all the changes that have happened, because, you know, this is unprecedented, really. Now,
yeah,
Ross,
definitely.
You're not just an amazing educator and a great support
Thank
for
you.
your teacher, your school. You're also a parent, and you've got young Lara to look after.
Lara?
What age is she?
Zara is 11.
Zara. Did I say
Zara?
Zara, sorry. In fact, I might just do that question again because I should have known that. Now, Ross, you're not just an amazing educator and a great contributor to your school and a great resource for your school, but you're also a parent and you've got young Zara there. How old is Zara?
Zara is 11 at the moment, going on 20. she's fantastic.
And so she's in grade 5 or 6?
She's 6.
Grade 6, yep.
Yep.
And because you're at school, you're not actually able to help her at home. So your partner's doing the bulk of that work, I imagine. How are things going at home with her, with your partner, and with her school?
So my daughter's school has a learning platform called Seesaw, and that is their school-wide learning platform. So at 9 o'clock every day, my partner Sharon gets Zara to log in and log into roll call and do all those things that she has to do at 9 o'clock, just like normal school would be, just that Zara is still in her PJs and she's sitting at the desk in her room. So once she's done that, she'll work through her Seesaw, and every day at 1 o'clock they have a classroom Zoom session. So that catch up happens every day, and it has since we've been back at school. So they catch up and make sure that the kids are making sure that they're on the right path to where they need to be with all the work on Seesaw, and if they've got any questions, and a bit of it's well-being too. See the teacher. There they are. We're still here for you. And prior to the holidays, it was a bit of a disconnect between the work and school because there was no teacher's face. So the interaction with the teacher is still vitally important in this whole process.
Great. So again, a mixture of synchronous and asynchronous, but probably more of a focus on asynchronous with Seesaw and then jumping into synchronous sessions. And you found that's been a good blend for Zara.
Definitely. She's a very social person. But she's thriving in isolation. She's happy not to go anywhere, and she's happy to do her work on the computer. She's very technology minded, like her father is, and she loves her technology. And we're in constant communication about various things. And I'll get a phone call, "Daddy, can you bring this home? Daddy, can you bring this home? How do I do this?" Et cetera, et cetera. So. She's been. I think she would more than happily have a laptop for the rest of her educational career in front of her.
Now, a question without notice, but Zara's obviously thriving. She's still learning and engaging and enjoying the process. But what about her friends? Are you hearing any reports about how students are just dying to get back to school? Or is this what they've been looking forward to for a long time? And is this working out better for them? What's your general feel?
Well, in Zara's close-knit group of friends, they're all gamers. So they all still are in contact with each other nearly on a daily basis, depending on the game that they're going to play. And usually this is after 2 o'clock when all of the learning has run out for the day, for the want of a better word, and Zoom's over.
You mean 2 o'clock
So,
in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the
yeah.
morning?
No, 2 in the afternoon. We still have
Just
strict
checking.
nighttime processes. But there's a few of them that would like to have that structure come back because I think they're getting a little bored. So that boredom, I think, is kicking in. But I think part of the boredom is that natural need for human contact.
Wow. So is there anything you're doing with Zara to help keep the creative side going?
Two things that we're doing. I'm getting her to increase her coding skills quite a lot. So we've been doing quite a few code.org activities. We do at least 3 of those throughout the week, and I'm trying to get her to extend herself in coding, not to become a coder, but I'd just like her to know what is behind the game. Loves online gaming, is very much a gamer, loves Minecraft, loves Stardew Valley, all those sort of things. But I wanted to know what's in the background, what goes into actually making this. So we do a bit of that coding work.
Good.
And she's also an artist, loves craft and loves painting. The other side of her desk, where the computer, on the other side to the computer, is where all her art and craft is. So if there's a particular thing that she has to hand in to Seesaw, instead of it being for example, a very badly drawn diagram using a mouse, no one can draw using a mouse, I'll get her to paint it, and then we'll take a picture and upload it. So it's just a sort of, just being a bit more creative in what we're putting in, is trying to get that creative muscle stimulated.
Now, Ross, that's a great segue to the final question, which is about Adobe tools that have been helpful for you. But let's extend that to maybe Adobe tools that you've seen that have been helpful for students at this time too, in terms of helping them develop their creativity.
So in my classes, we're doing data at the moment in my Year 10 class in particular, and we're using Adobe Illustrator to create our own infographics. So we've been collecting the data And now using Illustrator, they have to turn the data into information by creating an infographic. They have to do two things. They have to create a real one that has actual reason behind it, or a fake one. So they obviously like doing the fake one a little bit more than the real one, but in terms of the students upskilling themselves with Illustrator, EdExchange has been outstanding, because the majority of them have followed the four icon challenge, which I did as well. I did that myself, and quite a few of my staff have done the four icon challenge, and we tried to challenge each other with that, and we got that from one of the AELs on the Education Exchange. So I've also given that to my students as an extension topic. They all love Photoshop. Now, all of the kids, that Photoshop is my number one requested thing to learn at school all the time. You know, I want to do this. I want to be able to do this. And it's closely followed by Illustrator. So all of my kids at home have got that on their home PC, and I can happily give them some work on both of those that they're more than happy to submit something.
There you go. So Photoshop and Illustrator, the two stalwarts of the creative cloud, are up there as your choices.
Very much.
That's great. Oh, it's good to see. Well, Ross, thank you so much for your time and your insights and sharing what's happening in your world at the moment. And we look forward to catching up with you another time.
Not a problem, Tim. Thank you for having me.